If you will, open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. We've been spending a great deal of time lately looking here at the Great Commission. And indeed it is the Great Commission, it's not just the Good Commission. It is the Great Commission. It is our chief responsibility as one of the Lord's churches. It is the very work that we are to be engaged in every day as members of this body, as children of the Lord Jesus. We have this responsibility to declare this gospel of Christ before those that we have contact with, and then in an effort as individuals and as a church body, we are to continue to teach those that hear the gospel, those that hear and believe, that come to know Christ Jesus as Lord. We are to baptize them, of course, in the authority of the church here, and then we are to continue to teach them. And this continuing this teaching is what we often refer to as discipleship. We are to teach them in the things of the Lord, teach them to follow Christ Jesus. And we know God has a people here in this community. He has His elect here, and we have that responsibility to bring to them the gospel of Christ. Every day, those we come in contact with, those we meet from different places where we find ourselves, whatever we may be doing, we are to have the name of Christ upon our lips and be declaring Him to those around us. It is our great responsibility to do this. And then, of course, that being said, responsible to teach them, to make disciples of them, we also must realize we ourselves are nothing more than disciples ourselves. We are also disciples that are disciple makers. That's what we're supposed to be. And this is part of what the commission is declaring to us here. It's the latter part of it here, that second teach in verse number 20 here. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So, this morning, we're going to look at what it is to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, and the responsibility to be disciple makers. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we continue on this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Father, for your great grace. This is another opportunity again to be in your house this morning. We pray that you would open your word before us, that you'd give us understanding, Father, of these passages of Scripture that we look at this day, that you'd help us, Father, be faithful to the calling that you have given unto us, that we would faithfully declare Christ to those around us. Father, that we would seek those opportunities to speak your name to those that are in our way, those that are along our path through the day, that we might be able to declare Christ to them, and that by your grace you might reveal yourself unto them and save some according to your will, and that we might continue to have that opportunity to continue to teach them in these things of Christ Jesus our Lord. Help us to be faithful in this, for it is not only for those strangers that we meet, but it is also for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren that we come in contact with as we see each day. We would be faithful to declare Christ in all things of our lives before them. Help us now, we pray, as we look to your word. Father, teach us by it, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. What is a disciple, first of all? What is a disciple? A disciple, based upon what the scriptures, the definition the scripture gives us, a disciple is a follower. It's a follower. He's being led of the Lord. He's a student of the teacher, a servant to the master. Our Lord called us to follow Him. And in that following Him, there He directs us in that following that as we follow, there are certain things that we are to do in His service. And that's, again, that's, it goes back to what's told us there in verse number 20. As we disciple others, as we teach others to be disciples of the Lord Jesus, we are to teach them to observe all things whatsoever He has commanded. And so to be that follower of Christ is to do the things that He has declared for us to do. To be faithful to follow these things that He has declared, His commandments that He's given unto us. So a disciple is a follower of Christ Jesus. To do His will and to be made like Him. In Luke chapter 6, if you will turn back and look with me there in verse number 40. Luke 6 and verse number 40. It says in verse 39, and He spake a parable unto them, Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. We are to follow our Lord. We're not above Him. We're never to be above Him. We'll never get above Him. But we are to follow after Him and to be made more and more like Him as we follow. As we continue in that path after our Lord, it is the very purpose, the whole point, is that we be made into the image of our Lord and Savior. As Paul said there in Romans chapter 8, verse number 29, that we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of our Lord. So we are, as disciples, as we follow, we are to be growing in our faith in the Lord Jesus. We are to be growing to the point that we are being made more and more like Him. And so as we follow, as we are discipling after our Lord, the whole point is that we not only imitate Him, not only that we carry on His ministry, but that we become like Him in that process. That Christ Jesus would shine more and more through us as we grow more and more in Him. That ultimately our desire, the very scriptural desire, is that when we are seen, Christ Jesus is seen in us. That He is what shows forth. Not so much Clint any longer, but Christ shining forth through me. That's what that growth is to be about. That's how it is to be for those that are following after our Lord to be made His disciples. Yet somehow there are many that believe today that they can be a Christian. They can call themselves Christian without being Christ-like. The Bible tells us that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch there. They were declared to be Christians because they were Christ-like. They looked and acted like Christ Jesus. They had grown enough in their faith by that time. When they saw them, they knew, they recognized them, they identified them with Jesus. Sadly, our world has a very poor picture of who Jesus is today. They have a very, very poor picture, very, very strained idea of who Christ Jesus is. And the reality that where that problem lies is it within those that are claiming to be Christians and are not Christ-like. As a child of God, as a follower of Christ, as a disciple of Him, We must be like Him. We must seek to be as our Lord. A follower that doesn't follow just does not make sense. Just doesn't make sense. We are to follow after our Lord. I like how Francis Chan put it in his book on discipling. He says, many people in the church have decided to take on the name of Christ and nothing else. This would be like Jesus walking up to those first disciples and saying, hey, would you guys mind identifying yourselves with me in some way? Don't worry, I don't actually care if you do anything I do or change your lifestyle at all. I'm just looking for people who are willing to say that they believe in me and call themselves Christians. And then he says, seriously? That's the way many view their religion with Christ. That it's enough, it's all that's required, they think, of them to simply believe. The idea of following, the idea of being like Him, the idea of being molded into the image of Christ is something that is foreign to them. They think it's enough. Oh, well, I believe in it. The Bible tells us the devils believe and tremble. It's not enough to believe. We're to be made like Him. So the question is, are you a follower? Are you a disciple of Christ Jesus today? Or are you just a confessor of Christ? Do you see evidence of your faith changing you? Do you see evidence of Christ in you each day? Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Mark chapter 1 and verse number 17. Mark chapter 1, verse number 17. We see here the calling of some of His disciples here, specifically Simon and Andrew here, and then James and John following right after that. It says in verse 17, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. So here the implication is, I follow me. And if you follow me, you're going to get others to follow me. That's your purpose. That's the design of following Christ, is that we are to make disciples of others, that we go seek out others to follow Him as well. Now, we can't force anybody to follow. There's a lot of people today that's trying to do that. And they've worked it out. They've imagined schemes. They've worked up programs. You say this prayer. You do this thing, you perform this religious act, and you will be now a disciple of Christ. No, that's not how it works. It goes back again to that very commission that is given to us. We are to teach them. Go ye therefore teach all nations. That's the declaration of the gospel. We are to declare Christ to them. We are to declare His death, burial, and resurrection, and the very purpose of that and the working of that on our behalf, and what He has worked in that for us on His death, or in His death on the cross for us, and in His resurrection from the grave, what He has accomplished in that, and our justification, and our washing, the washing of our sins from us, and giving unto us eternal life. We are to declare that gospel to them. There will be those that will turn from us and say, I'll have no part of that. There will be some that will say, well, that sounds pretty good. Let me stick around and listen a little more. And then there'll be others that will say, I believe that. That's right. Yes, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. Yes, that's what I have. And then we are to baptize those that have experienced Christ as Lord and Savior, that have experienced that new birth, we are to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and then we are to continue to teach them. And so we are to make We are to make disciples out of those that hear the gospel. Those that are saved, we are to make them followers of Christ. But again, we can't force anybody. But notice in Mark chapter 1 again, what he says there is he tells them, follow me, come after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And it says straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And so we see him as he's called them to follow. And they leave all and follow him. Now they'll come back as time goes on, as they face different situations. We see them going back to the fish nets. They'll go back to the boats. They'll continue on with life as usual. But it does not change they are followers of Christ. But notice what he tells them first. What is his message before he says, follow me? His message before he says, follow me, is verse 15, right above it. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Before we can follow, before we can leave all and follow after our Lord, there must first come a repentance and a believing of the gospel. That must come first, or we're not able to follow. We're not able to be disciples of him until he has done a work in our hearts, until he has made us alive by his Spirit. We will not be able to follow him. And so there must first come this repentance, this turning from the way that we are going, returning from sin, turning from our desires and the things of this world. The word repent means to turn. It means to change directions. It's going the opposite way that you were going before. And the way that man is going naturally is away from God. It is in rebellion against God. It is straight for hell. That is the direction man goes without Christ. And so repent is to turn around and go toward Christ. To repent is to turn toward him. To repent is to make our thinking, to bring our thinking and our heart in line with God. And we cannot do that except he worked that work in us. And so both repentance and faith to believe are the graces of God that he bestows upon us, that he works in us. So before we can ever follow him, there must first be grace poured out upon us. There must first be that repentance and faith to believe our Lord. Then we are able then to follow after him. That must come. That is necessary to bring us unto God. And if we all need to repent, that means all of us are sinners. That's what Romans chapter 3 declares to us, for all have sinned, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he goes further into that throughout chapter 3, describing the sinfulness of man and the depths of depravity of our very hearts. And that means all of us have done things that are evil and offensive to our Lord. Evil and offensive to the King of Kings. And Paul tells us that those evil deeds, as he says there in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, those evil deeds are deserving of death. Romans 6 verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God, he says. Verse 10 of chapter 3, let me read that. He says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Her throat is an open sepulcher, he says. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And for that reason, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. We all, every last one of us, deserve death. Not just physical death. This is eternal death that he's speaking of. Every last one of us deserve eternal separation from God. And though we deserve that death, God has intervened on our behalf. As he says there in chapter 5 of Romans in verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is what Paul would go on to describe more clearly in Ephesians chapter 2, as he would describe the very depths of sinfulness, the very depths of depravity in the hearts of God's elect, and who we are outside of God, and then what God has worked to bring his grace to us, to make us his own, to give us the righteousness of Christ in place of our very wickedness that separates us from him. Listen to Ephesians 2, verse number 1. And you hath he quickened. Made alive is what that word means. You hath he made alive, given life to, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. That's the direction that man is going without Christ. It is away from God. It is enmity to God. It is hatred against God. It is rebellion against him. That's the course of this world. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I really know of no one. I've run across a few people here and there that will joke about it. But I don't know of anybody that wants to agree that they are following Satan. But this is exactly what he's declaring. You follow the course of the world, you're following after the direction of Satan himself. You're following after that very heart of rebellion if you follow after the course of this world. And Paul says there is a time when every last one of us were following after that same course. Among whom also, he says there in verse number 3, we all had our conversation in times past. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, he says, the children of wrath, even as others. We all were on that road. But God. God intervenes. Even while we were yet sinners, even while we were yet on that same course, following after self, following after the direction of Satan, following after the wickedness of the things of this world, with our minds and our hearts dead in trespasses and sins, and following headlong after evil, after wickedness, and after death. Following headlong in that direction. God intervenes. Who is rich, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Now listen, He's describing here His love intervening for us, but His love did not save us. It's because of His love that grace is given, and grace can only be given by Christ Jesus giving Himself for us as our substitute. Jesus is the one who saved us. His death, burial, and resurrection from the grave. That is what redeems us unto God. That is what saves us. Not God's love. God's love worked it all. It's because of His love that He set all of this in place and moved on Christ to do these things for His people. But it is the very death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord that redeems us unto God. And so God intervenes because of His great love wherewith He loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, hath made us alive together with Christ. It's by His death, burial, and resurrection for us that we are reckoned in Him, made alive before the throne of God. By grace ye are saved. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved today. We are made followers of Christ today. We are made spiritually living creatures today, all by God's grace. All by His grace for us. We cannot repent. We cannot believe, we cannot follow, except God work in us first, giving us life that we might see Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Only then can we repent. Only then can we believe. Only then can we follow as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now because of this intervention, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19, verse number 20, because of this intervention of grace, we find here we do not any longer belong to ourselves. There's no idea of this, a misunderstanding of this in us as the children of God. Paul makes it clear to us here that we are bought, and being bought, we belong to Christ. We do not belong to ourselves. We are the servants of the Lord Jesus. He says there in verse 19, he says, what? Know ye not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to Him. We do not belong to ourselves. Again, there are many that want to believe Jesus is Lord, but they do not want to admit that means Lord of them. This is not possible. This is not possible. You cannot claim Him as Lord and then deny His Lordship over you. He has called you for a purpose. He has a plan for you to fulfill. Again, back in Ephesians chapter 2, he says there in verse number 10 that we have experienced this grace. This grace is given to us. We are redeemed, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He has a purpose for your life. There are specific things that He has set for you to do. You must follow Christ. If you belong to Him, if your salvation is in Christ Jesus alone, you must follow. You must be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. He's called you to follow Him. And this following is all about love. This following is not a coercion. This following is not a treasury. It's not something that we want to stay from. It's not something that if I have to. It is to be about our love for Him. It's not to be about the pleasing of others. It's not to be about looking good before other men that we can be Pharisees. But it is that following after Him is to be about our love for Him. And as we love Him, that love should shine forth through us as we love one another. That is the commandments that the Lord has given us. He said to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That is the very structure of all that He's given us to perform, to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And the second, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. That love is to pour out from us. That following of Christ, to be a disciple of our Lord, is all about our love for Him and our love for one another. The Bible makes it clear that we can't divide those. We can't say, well, I love the Lord, but I hate this bunch over here. If we belong to Him, if He is indeed our Master, if we are indeed following after Him, we are to follow Him out of love, for His love for us and our love for Him, because He first loved us, we love Him in return. And so in that love we have for Him, we follow, we do, we complete the task that He has set before us, and that love is to be given and to be seen in us as we love one another. It's all about our love for Him. Never did He say, follow me and do what you want to do. Never did He say, believe on me and go on and live life any way you want to. Repent, believe, follow Christ Jesus. Follow. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14 and verse number 25. know this. And as you follow the Lord, as you strive to be His disciple, such a following will cost you. Be aware that following after Him and your stand for Him will cost you. And so there needs to be a realization in your service to the Lord, in your following after Him, that as you go, as you follow, as you do as He has called us to do, even loving Him and loving those around you, that as you go, there are things that you're going to have to be willing to let go of. Things that are not fit for the following after the Lord. And sometimes, sadly, people that will not go with you. Be faithful to follow. No matter that cost, be faithful to follow. He says here in verse 25, and there went great multitudes with Him. And He turned and said unto them, if any man come to Me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace? So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be My disciple. To follow Him, to be His disciple, may cost you everything. Are you willing to lay that down? Are you willing to lay those things aside and follow? Are you a disciple this morning? Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Or are those things, are there things there in your life, things that are a part of you that you're not willing? Lord, I'll follow you to this point, but I can't go beyond that because I can't give that up. And you're not a disciple. He gave all. He gave absolutely all of Himself. And that's what He demands of you. All of you. All of you. Are you a disciple of Christ this day? It's all standing. Frank, would you bring us a song?